if faith isn't just something that I believe inside of my head, you know, a code of ethics, I can write down in bullet points what my faith or my belief is, and that's not entirely what the scriptures are speaking about, then what is it? Now, this faith seems to change people's lives, seems to confer blessings and benefits from heaven above, and we're going to be talking more about that faith that Abraham had and you and I can have. Good morning and welcome to God's Resistance, where we resist sin, self, the devil, and the world. We're glad to have you tune in with us again here this Sunday morning. I do want to just say again, we kind of mentioned this on a note in the previous episode there, the first half of Romans 4, we went 1 through 13. We talked about that righteousness being imputed to Abraham. Again, I want to help us to see, especially when we look in the context of Romans chapter 4, this imputed righteousness today is basically said something to this effect: Jesus obeyed for me, so I don't have to. That is what that imputed righteousness boils down to as a teaching. However, we do not find that that is what Paul is trying to teach people here in the book of Romans in the fourth chapter. What is Paul trying to teach then, you may ask? Well, let's look into it as we pick up at verse 14. I guess we should go back to verse 13 for a second. That's where we left off last time. But it says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." So here, faith is much more than just simply a mental assent or a belief. There is going to be some divine blessing, some divine gifts that are going to be for you and I as we believe on Jesus Christ, and we are going to be joint heirs with Christ. And that's not through obedience to the law, but that's through faith. Faith in what God, his system is, that system of, I say system, that's a terrible way to say it. Faith through God's plan of redemption through Christ, through his death, burial, resurrection, through his saving power and changing people from going in the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. That's through faith. The law cannot do that. We'll be in darkness yet if we just were trying to look to the law to save us. So verse 14 says, "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression." In other words, the promise was made to Abraham well before the law. Now, if it was that the law was what would make this promise to Abraham, you know, that he was going to have more children than the sands of the sea, than the stars in the sky, which is talking about the gospel, meaning that God was going to have a family that was made up of all people from all nations and ethnicity and all time and all classes of society that were believers in Jesus Christ. That essentially is the promise of Abraham, given to Abraham. If that promise was to be known by obeying the law, then he's saying that promise makes no sense because it was made before the law. Moses came after this, in other words. So he says the law actually works wrath, for where no law is, there's no transgression. So we already talked about that in Romans 3:20. By the law is the knowledge of sin. The law just works wrath. All it does is it shows us that we are wrong, that we have sinned. So there's no life-giving power in the law. I mean, I guess in some roundabout way, you could say there's a life-giving power in the sense that once it shows us our condition, it wakes us up to the reality that we need life. And so it doesn't give life, but leads to life. That's its function. And that life is in Christ. Verse 16, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." So God was always looking to have a people out of every tribe, tongue, and nation. And the gospel is the fulfillment of that Abrahamic covenantal promise. He says, "This is by faith, so that it can be by grace, to the end that the promise can be sure to all your seed." That's all your children by faith, essentially, is what's being said. "And not to the people that are of the law," so not just the Jews, "but to those also which are of the faith of Abraham, which is the father of us all." So it was always God's plan that this gospel, that this redemption was going to be for the entire world. The Jews were the container for it. They were supposed to be bringing it to the whole world, but they kind of just got in focused. and thought that God had given that to them just to make them a special people. They were a special people chosen by God, but they were chosen by God for a specific task, and that was to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. However, they have seemed to have lost that idea here and thought that God was just going to bless them above all nations so that they could basically glory in the fact that God was their God and he was going to wipe everyone else out, and that was never God's heart. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So he has said, I made you a father of many nations. Notice that, you know, they think the Jews would say our father Abraham, and they're talking about the Jews, but God said he made Abraham a father of many nations. And let's go back to kind of get this, because these parentheses kind of break up the flow of this. But he says, the promise was given to those that had the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. In other words, here we see the power of faith to give new life, which flies contrary to the idea of imputed righteousness in the sense where people say Jesus obeyed for me, so I don't have to. No. Jesus did obey for us to be the spotless, sinless sacrifice to secure the salvation for all those that believe. But look at the power of faith to give a new life here. It says, Abraham believed God who quickeneth the dead, who gives life to the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. If anybody was to know about this life-giving power, it was Abraham. And we're just going to go into it here in verse 18. And God illustrates this through Paul in this sense in chapter 18, who against hope, this is Abraham, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So Isaac was the beginning of the fulfillment of this worldwide gospel. And he believed against hope. He believed against hope. Abraham was a very old man by the time that he had Isaac, and he was getting a little nervous. I wish I had looked at this beforehand, and I forgot, but forgive me. You can look this up to double check it, but I want to say something to the effect of 25 years from the first time that God told Abraham that he was going to have a child, and through that child was going to bless many nations, and was going to be as the sand of the sea, is going to be as the stars of the sky, and that's how many number of his children he was going to have. It was that time, and it took 25 years from that time where God spoke that to him until the time that Isaac was born. You can imagine when somebody promises to do something for you and it takes 2 years, you're wondering if they're going to come through. Now, think 25 years and so many perceived setbacks that came in Abram's life, you know, and he's getting older and older. He's not getting any younger. And you can imagine in his mind, in the human, he's thinking, man, God promises, maybe I was off. Maybe what God means is he's going to give me a son and it's going to come through my loins, but it's not going to be through Sarah. So I'm going to go lay with my concubine. And this was his wife's suggestion, and have that son, that promised son through her. It was just Ishmael. And that actually was not what God had intended. And God said, no, it is not going to be that way. It's going to be from your own loins. It's going to be your wife, Sarah, that's going to do this. And so there was this promised seed, and this is why this has so much power packed in it. It said that Abraham believed God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Because when Abraham's 99 years old, he's thinking, I'm so old. How in the world is this going to happen? This is impossible, right? And this is the parallel that's being made, dear listener. If you were going to try and work your way to salvation, it is impossible to have the change that the gospel says is going to happen to a believer simply by trying harder, by making more efforts to obey every single jot and tittle. All you find is that you are dark inside of your heart and you are powerless and that you are abiding under the wrath of God and there's no hope. That's what you find. But here, we find that Abraham had a different view. He was looking at somebody who could raise somebody from the dead and call those things which are not as though they were. In other words, I don't see any way through in front of my face, but God is calling something that is impossible into being. And that's what's going on here with Abraham. And it says, Abraham, in verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, 99 years old, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So we need to consider the same about our weakness and God's great power to raise our spirit from the dead. Because we are in spiritual death. We are in darkness. We're dead in trespasses and sin until we are born again, until we are saved. And it says here, Abraham wasn't weak in faith. He didn't even consider his own body now dead. He didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. Do you see now why righteousness was reckoned to him through faith? He couldn't have earned any of this. He just said, though I'm as good as dead and I'm 99 years old and my wife is about 90 years old and there is no human possible way that she is going to bear a child at this age, I am choosing to believe in God and his might and his power and his word. He promised me he was going to do these things. I am choosing to believe him against all odds, and I'm not even going to bring in and consider the things that I see with my own eyes. I'm going to believe God because he said it. Do you see there is a heart difference with this man? Sometimes we like to say, Lord, I'll believe you. Show me a sign. What Abraham is saying is, I'll believe you whether or not you ever give me a sign because you said it. You see, there's something drastically different there about that kind of a belief. And he said, it says that he was not weak in faith. He continued to believe God. In verse 20, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Sometimes, listener, our sins seem to be so powerful, so we try to remedy it ourselves instead of simply surrendering to Jesus Christ through faith. I'm going to fix this problem. I got myself in this mess. I'm going to get myself out. And all the while, we find that we are failing miserably. We are not up to the standard of Christ. We're not up to the standard of the gospel. We're not living in that victory and that freedom from sin. We are in trouble. What is going on? But you see, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. In verse 21, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. Do you believe that, sinner? Do you believe that, listener? If you've got no victory over your sin, and in fact, your sin is your master, and it's whipping at you and beating you down, it's the tyrant inside of your own heart, and you have no victory, your head's drooping down, you have no assurance before God, you're not assured that you're going to heaven. You hope you're going to heaven, but you have question marks everywhere because things just don't seem so settled. Oh God, what do I do? Are you fully persuaded that God is able to do in you what he promised? To save you from your sins? If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil? Do you believe that he came to quicken our dead spirits, to make us alive in God through Jesus Christ, that sin would not be our master anymore, that we don't continue in sin anymore, that grace may abound, but that we can be living in the Spirit and walking with God? Do you believe that that is your right if you believe on Jesus Christ, if you surrender to him? Because it is. And therefore, saying of Abraham in verse 22, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Because he believed God like that, God reckoned to Abraham this righteousness. He didn't deserve it. There's no way he earned it, but God saw the man's heart and he reckoned to him this righteousness. This imputation is justification. And Abraham was treated as if he'd never sinned, as if he had always been righteous. Verse 24, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, for our sins, and was raised again for our justification, for our pardon, for our forgiveness. So this is for you, dear listener. All you've got to do is follow in Abraham's steps. Look at your sins. Look at the deadness of your spirit. Look at the hopelessness of it all. But then quickly look into the face of God. See that God has promised to forgive you, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you confess your sins and turn your back, and salvation will be yours. Your next step is to call 570-362-7782. If you're local, I'd love to get a coffee with you or meet with you. We are out on the street in the Wilkes-Barre Public Square every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. And immediately following at 6:30 p.m., there is a Bible study and Abide coffee shop. Also on Sundays at 4 p.m., we have another street meeting out in the public square. We would love to see you there. You're invited.